You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everybody, and happy Wednesday. Today is Wednesday, January 24th, and earlier today, both Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni and general manager Howie Roseman spoke with the Philly media for the end of season press conference. This was the first time that we've heard from both of them since the Eagles lost in the wildcard round. Sirianni and Roseman are at the podium with a presser that's locked, loaded, and ready for you. I am your host, Rachel Privette, and this podcast is brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Nick Sirianni touched on removing Brian Johnson from the offensive coordinator position, and he was also asked if he consulted Jalen Hurts before doing so because Hurts was so close with Brian Johnson. Sirianni stressed that whoever the new offensive coordinator is will be in charge of the offense and bringing in new ideas. He was also asked about the reports on Vic Fangio being a top target on the new defensive coordinator position, and Sirianni did mention that they have a lot of good targets that they're working through. It's very interesting that actually during the press conference, news broke that Vic Fangio had been released from the Miami Dolphins, and Adam Schefter tweeted, quote, "The Dolphins and Fangio have mutually agreed to part ways, sources tell me and Jeremy Fowler. Fangio now will be the top target for the Eagles to hire as their defensive coordinator, and a deal is expected. Miami is allowing Fangio to leave to be closer to his family in Pennsylvania." Fangio and the Eagles had an interest in working together in 2023, but the timing didn't work. This time it will, end quote. Howie Roseman expressed his confidence and his belief in the young players that the Eagles currently have at the linebacker position. He specifically made a strong endorsement for N'Kobe Dean. He was also asked what gave him the confidence to bring back Nick Sirianni, despite how the season ended. Take a listen.
Appreciate everyone's patience. Just want to walk through why we're here a little bit later than normal. Played Monday night. The game ended Tuesday. I think we left locker room Tuesday morning. And just looking around the locker room at our players, as our staff, felt like there was a kind of sadness about the way the season ended. There was kind of a shell shock feeling that was going on. And I think what we do a good job of is kind of communicating, figuring out the reasons for things, how we can get better. And so we gave everyone Tuesday off. And then coach and I and our coaches met with all our players. We had exit interviews. That lasted for a couple of days. Obviously, the snowstorm on Friday. So a lot of people were out of the office. The office was closed. And then we went into the weekend and like we do, try to figure out a plan to get better. So I apologize for kind of the delay. And we're here now.
Can you walk us through the decision to remove Brian Johnson as your offensive coordinator? And did you talk to Jalen considering the relationship when you made that decision?
Sure. Yeah. You know, we evaluated our season at the end of the year. Obviously, are going to be in constant evaluation of this. You know, we did what we thought was best at the time. And you know, I can't say enough good things about Brian though. You know, he's a great football coach, and he's going to have another opportunity to lead an offense, and I will miss him. You know, some of the things that we want to do as a team is, you know, grow in a lot of different areas, grow in, you know, some of the guys that have been in here with me for a while. So it's about coming up with fresh ideas and doing some things different. And that's exactly where we are right now. And sometimes, you know, Brian being, you know, at that position, you know, unfortunately, he's the one that is leaving at this particular time. But I can't tell you how much I appreciate him as a coach. We've had a lot of success here in the past 3 years, and Brian's contributed a lot to that. But like I said, it's now about bringing in fresh ideas, some different thoughts than what a lot of the guys, you know, sometimes when you're with a group of guys, like we've been together for 3 years, that group of guys. But in addition to that, you know, it was a couple of the other guys that I've been with for multiple years as well. And so just wanted to bring in some fresh ideas, and that's where we are with that.
With those fresh ideas, Nick, how willing are you to change some of the structure of your offense if you see fit?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you're saying, exactly what we're talking about. So, you know, it's just about putting the players in the best positions to succeed, but and doing things differently at times too. But there's going to be things that whoever the new coordinator is, there's going to be things that, you know, they bring that are going to be, you know, fresh ideas for us to help our players grow and help our players play at the top level. And there's been some things that we've done really well on offense too in the past that, you know, that you'll mesh in some of that together as well. I think it, you know, with some of the success that we've had these last 3 years and the things that our guys do well. And so I'm excited about that. The new ideas meshing with some of the old ideas. We'll see how that continues to go as we go through our off season process and where we land with that. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when you get to me, we got a little bit stale on offense by the end, you know, at the end of the year, and these ideas and this new person coming in is meant to, you know, take away the staleness and add the value of what they're adding to the offense.
Hey, just for clarification though, it'll be your scheme and you'll have final authority on what is run.
Yeah. You know, it's our scheme. It will be our scheme of what we're doing. And so again, I don't know exactly what that will look like yet. Right. We're bringing in a guy to bring in new ideas, to do the things that he's done in the past. We're going through an extensive search to get that right person. But it'd be crazy not to add some of the things that we've done in the past here as well. I don't know if it's going to be 95% this. 90, we're not there yet, right? We're working on getting the best guy in here for the job. And you know, a guy who has a vision, a guy who's going to call the plays, a guy who's going to be able to coach a quarterback in the same sense there. So it's just about getting the right guy, and then we'll decide where that goes. But I'm hiring him to do a job, and to be in charge of the offense.
Nick, when you look at the defensive side of the ball, what are you looking for in your new defensive coordinator? Are you looking for somebody potentially to be a little bit more aggressive? Or are you still married to, like, to say, the big fan of your type scheme that you guys have a couple of
years? Yeah, we're looking for the guy who's best fits the, you know, who is the best person for the job, right? And that can be, there's many different systems that work. There's many different systems that work well. And we're looking for the guy who's going to be best for the job, that can utilize the skills that our players have, so they can play at their highest level. And so a lot of good candidates there as well. And that's what we're going through right now, you know, as we speak.
Nick, if the offensive coordinator is going to be in charge of the offense and the defensive coordinator is going to be in charge of the defense, what is your role going to be?
The head coach of the football team.
What does that entail? How does it change?
Yeah. I guess what, you know, it'd be this very similar to what's going on right now. You know, if that mean I'll sit more into defensive meetings at times, maybe, right? Instead of always being in an offensive meeting, maybe I go to a defensive meeting here and there. But my job is to be the head coach of the team, not the head coach of the offense, not the head coach of the defense, not the head coach of the special teams, but be the head coach of the football team. And so that's building the culture. That's making sure the culture's, you know, working, you know, with our five core values, are taking every day at a time. Like, we're not coming up with new core values. I mean, we may shuffle where, you know, where the things are that are important, and the most important. But that's diving into that, building the culture, having a relationship with the guys on the football team. Because I know when I have that connection with the guys on the football team, that's when things are, you know, that's when the culture is working, and working at high level. And then that's where our connection with the players and then their connection with each other works well too.
Let me take one.
Just from a personnel standpoint on defense, where are you as far as how far from being able to field the kind of defense you guys want to field?
Yeah, I think, Ruben, when I think about the contributions I can make to help this team, I know that when I'm doing my best, and I have my best seasons, this team has a chance to have its best seasons. And so, like, I hold myself to a very high standard. I think we have a lot of good young players on this team. I think we have the ability to go out and continue to add to that. I'm very excited about the core that we have on offense going forward, obviously. And so in terms of that, you know, our goal every year is to fill the best possible team. And, you know, I go back to last year on the Tuesday after we lost the Super Bowl, and Nick walked into my office and he said, "How you doing?" And I said to him, you know, I think the thing that I'm most upset about is how many good people we're going to lose, you know, on and off the field. And so I knew what was coming. I knew the schedule was going to be harder. I knew that, you know, it was probably easier to get the offense to a place quicker than it was the defense. And, you know, we never want to be just kind of in the middle of packing both, you know. And so I feel like a lot of the things that we try to do last off season was kind of try to keep our priorities intact about how we like to build the team. You know, we could talk about that and some of the decisions we make. And, you know, I accept responsibility for whatever we got to do to make sure that when the season falls short of not playing this week and beyond, you know, I'm certainly responsible for that as well.
What do you attribute their underperformance relative to the investment to? And is there anything about the way that the season played out that has sort of changed your roster as well?
Yeah, I think you don't want I feel like we've had a long history of success here, building a team a certain way. And I think maybe there's some preconceived notions that, you know, we're just at the linebacker position, you know, that we don't care who we play at linebacker. And again, you know, our two Super Bowl teams over the last 6 years, linebacker play was good, you know, from those guys. And I think, if anything, it's my belief in the players that we have, the young players that we have. I have a lot of belief, and I know Coach does as well, in N'Kobe Dean, you know. And so, I believe in the player. I believe in the person. You know, we lost two linebackers at that spot, two good players from our Super Bowl team. And we had N'Kobe Wade in the wings. We drafted him for that role. Obviously, it didn't work out perfectly for him this year. That doesn't change the belief we have in the player. And then, you know, we felt like we'd have the ability to get an off-ball linebacker, a will linebacker who can run and hit. And honestly, when you watch the tape, Zach Cunningham had a good year. He really did. And he had a mentality that we liked from that position. Of course, you know, we missed some of the guys that left as free agents, missed some of the guys on and off the field that we had strong relationships with.
Howie, what was your involvement in the process that led to Sean Desai's demotion?
You know, Coach comes to me and tells me kind of what he's thinking, no different than when he decided to give Shane the play calling duty. And he said, "Hey, this is what I'm going to do." I trust him with the coaching staff. That's his responsibility, just like he trusts me with my front office staff. And that's how we're structured here. That's how the relationship works. And I always want to be a supporter for him and a resource. So if he needs me to do something, if he asks me a question, if he asks me an opinion, you know, in a situation like this, he had made up his mind, he had made a decision, and I'm gonna support him.
If you could go back and do that again, would you do it the same way? Would you replace Sean with Matt again? And I guess, whether you would or not, what did you learn from replacing a coordinator, you know, into, I don't know if it was December or not yet, but when you did a 13-game season?
Yeah, obviously, I understand that anything that I do and make any decision that I make, if it doesn't work out, it can be, you can look at it and second guess it. So we are right now. At the time I made that decision, like I've told you guys, I made that decision because I thought it was the best decision that for the team. And, you know, obviously we all fell short at the end, at those last 6 weeks of the season, right? All of us did. And so, you know, I say, obviously Matt was in a tough situation, trying to, because you can't completely change, you know, the defense, right? And so he was, you know, trying to, you know, make some things happen with, quite frankly, things that weren't his defense. So I know I put Matt in a tough spot. I know I put Sean in a tough spot, obviously. But at the time that I did that, you know, I did it because I thought it was the best decision for the football team. And there's a lot of decisions I have to make like that, whether I go for it on fourth down in certain situations, what our philosophy is in a 4 minute drive at the end of a game. And trust me, every time we do something like that and it doesn't work, I think to myself, what was the best thing? And I can only come back to that answer to you right now is that, and forevermore, that at the time when I did it because I thought it was the best thing for the defense. And that's
last year, last year, you talked about the vision that you had for the defense, you know, things that you were convicted in, you know, philosophically. I guess, has that shifted as you start to start?
No, I mean, you're always growing as a coach, right? So there's some things that, you know, year in, year out, players that you have, different scenarios you go through, can lead to where your visions are and your philosophies are. But, you know, those things are in constant you know, they're evolving at all times. And so are there things that I still believe in, you know, even going through a difficult stretch here like we did? Of course, right? And the offense, defense, special teams, how to build, you know, how to lead the team. There's a ton of those things. But I don't think there's any growth unless you look at some things and say, and be critical on yourself and say, okay, well, this was my philosophy here, this was a belief here, and this didn't work out. And sometimes the answer, you look at those things, and sometimes the answer is, no, I still believe in this. And sometimes the answer is, you know, maybe I need to make a adjustment here with that. And so that's the process of just going through it and getting and trying to get better. And so, of course, there's things that that I'll be adjusting, but there's still things that there's probably more. You know, you don't just take just a 6 week stretch and say, boom, I'm scratching this entire philosophy. You know, you look at it as a whole. You ask yourself, you drag yourself through the mud of the bad stuff that you've went through, and you say, do I need to, you know, to make adjustments? And yet the answer is yes a lot of times, and then the answer is no, this is the way it needs to be, and we just got to do it better or coach it better or whatever it is.
One of the things that you're finding yourself open to changing, and you maintain a lot of your staff to do a lot of the same things. So how has it been looking outside of that, and how are you with this situation in the office? How, what was your confidence that instead of the entire wall that you can leave that?
Yeah, you go first.
Yeah, I think every conversation that we're having is about how we can move forward together. And I think the important thing for us to look at is before the stretch, which was a, you know, a difficult stretch, you know, not diminishing the 1-6 stretch at the end. We're 26-5 over the last 31 games. I mean, that's four times the amount of games that we played over this stretch. That is hard to do in the National Football League. That is hard to find a head coach in this league who has that record of success. I think we were 33-11 up until that point with Nick. We made the playoffs three straight years. Again, not okay finishing 1-6. So I'm not sitting up here saying that, but it is hard to find somebody who can do those sort of things. And I think as we go forward, you know, doing this together in a way that continues to get the best possible people we can on and off the field. For me, that's my job to try to make sure that we have that on the field, and my group is as strong as we possibly can get. And I know Nick's committed to that in his group.
Nick, when you look at the decision to move on from Brian Johnson, how much of a factor was Jalen? I mean, not necessarily like if you consulted him, but like just as far as making the change and the new offensive coordinator, like how much of a factor is he as far as all that?
Yeah, like I said, like obviously everything we're doing is trying to get our players to perform better and to continue to grow. So the new coordinator, if I'm answering your question right here. The new coordinator is obviously going to be heavily involved in not only the, you know, he's bringing in a scheme to be able to run, to be able to, for us to function in. And that scheme has to be something that our players can function and our quarterback is going to be excel at. And so I'm looking forward to the whoever that is to come in and do those things as far as, and you want there to be comfort with Jalen and whoever is this new coordinator. And so obviously talk, just like I talked to Howie about it, just like talk to Kevin Petula about it, I'll talk to Jalen about that as well. And some of the things, you know, you're in constant communication with your players, especially your quarterback. And so we'll talk through everything. I'll keep him aware of things that he needs to be aware of. And, you know, keep him in the loop of that because, you know, that he's our guy and you know, it's really important that those two guys are going to work hand in hand to make sure that we're getting back to where we need to be.
Do you think there was a second follow up just really quickly? Did you have to consult with Jalen about your decision to let Brian go?
Yeah. You know, obviously we talk about everything. And we communicate on everything. Won't get into specific discussions on, you know, what we talk about, but yeah, we discuss everything.
What was his reaction to Brian getting dismissed?
Obviously they have a relationship. I mean, you'll have to ask Jalen when you get an opportunity to talk to him, but you know, anytime you have to let people go, we all hurt when we let people go. Every one of us, right? This is the worst part of the job, having to let people go. You know, it doesn't just affect the person you let go. It affects the families, and it affects there's a friendship there, like that we have worked together every day for the past 3 years, and we've spent way more time with each other than we have with our families or our loved ones, and you grow close and you grow close bonds, and so. You know, I don't even want to get into the, you know, what every play, like everyone's going to be hurting from this, right? Not just the guy that got let go, but the friendships that are, they're not over, but you know, you're not going to see that person every day like you have in the past. And so that's the most difficult part of this business. I feel like if I can explain that on the human side of this thing, like that's the most difficult part of this business is saying goodbye to friends. You know, and I can't, it's the worst part. And I really can't explain to you how it feels when you have to do those things, and everybody feels it, right? The coach to coach, player to coach. And so, like I said, Brian did so many good things, and like how he was talking about the games that we've won, the success that we've had. Brian's a big part of that, and we're all sad for what's went down and what's going on right now.
What needs to be done?
It's atypical to wait this long to speak. How would you characterize those end of season meetings from your perspective? And did you feel you had to sell your vision or sell yourself in those meetings with Jeffrey?
You know, obviously we have those meetings after every year. And we talk about, you know, the progression of the team, where we're going, what we did well, things we didn't do well. And, you know, that was kind of business as usual right there. It was a little, obviously at the end of the game, right, on Monday night, you get back late on Tuesday. Howie explained all that. We have player meetings, right? It takes me about 2 to 3 days to get through every player. Then you're trying to get through every coach. Then you're having the meetings there. And so it's a long process to get to where we are right now, where we have, you know, we're able to answer your questions a little bit more. I guess that's what Howie said, what he said with the, you know, why we're meeting right now. But going into the meeting, did you ask, say what you asked again?
Yeah, Jeffrey, did you have to sell yourself or sell your vision of how it
fits? Yeah, again, it was the same. It was business as usual of how we go about an end of year meeting. You know, obviously, well, my thought is there, and so it was just normal, Zach. It wasn't anything different than it's been the last 3 years. Now, in my mind, right? In my mind, you better believe I'm thinking, how do I reprove myself? Right? I was a young coach that that Mr. Lurie and Howie and this organization trusted to give the job to. I had to prove myself that, you know, this guy can lead, you know, the organization like they asked me to. And I had to prove myself from then. And I think that, you know, you asked me that question, like, did I like have to sell my vision? No, because again, it was business as usual, but you better believe that I'm thinking after that 1-6 finish, after starting the way we started and doing the things that we've done in the past, that I'm thinking I'm going to prove them right again. That, you know, and we're going to prove them right. Right. We got to reprove ourselves. We got to go prove it again. And so that's how I feel right now. That's how, you know, I'm attacking this off season. That's how I'm attacking this upcoming, you know, season as we get ready for it. Just hungry to be able to prove myself again to, you know, Mr. Lurie and the faith that he's had in me, and Howie and the faith he's had in me, and the rest of the team and the city.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can I just say something? I just want to say something because I think it's important, Tim. Something you said made me think about this. To think about these exit meetings and what the purposes of them are, and the purpose of them is, like everything we do, we're trying to accumulate information. You know, for us to make good decisions, we're trying to accumulate information. But at the end of the day, the decisions are made by us. You know, we understand that everyone has different opinions and perspectives, but we're going to make those decisions. So I say that just in relation to, you know, you asked kind of what Jalen, and that's not fair also to Jalen. You know, he's 25 years old, you know, like Jalen is continuing to grow and get better. And what we see at 25 is going to be a bit different than 26. I'm just using Jalen as an example here. And so I think for us, it's also important to understand, like, we accept responsibility. Whatever the product is, at the end of the day, that's on me. That's on coach, and we accept that. So we don't ask the players to make these decisions. We don't ask the other people who work for us to make these decisions. We try to get information, and we try to make the best decisions we possibly can so that the confetti can fall on our head again and we can be world champs again, because that's the only agenda.
But in terms of improving Jalen, what needs to be done, Nick and Howie, and from Jalen himself, to get him back playing like he was in 2022?
Yeah, you know, obviously, we're all going to have things that we need to work on, and Jalen is no different than any. We all are going to have a look. We're going to all go look at the things that from the season and say, "Oh, we need to work on this," or "We need to work on that." Without getting into the specifics of that, because, like I said, we all, you guys are going to ask me, "What about this? What about that?" You know, what the one thing I do know about Jalen is, you know, when people, or when there are things of his game that he needs to improve, he goes to work and he does his, he busts his ass to do that. I think, you know, you saw such a, you know, I think that there was a lot of questions after that first year about some things about could he be the passer or whatever, whatever the questions were. And he came out and put together an MVP type season the following year, like in just his, the way he threw the ball, the way he delivered the ball, accuracy, all those different things. Like he just continues to grow. And I said it last year a bunch, like, I don't know if we know what this guy's ceiling is because he's going to work and do everything he needs to do to get better. And, you know, and for, you know, for 11 weeks this year, right? For 11 weeks this year, he was on top of the MVP talk, right? You guys asked about that. And then he was on top of the MVP talk of where he was through 11 weeks. And we all had a bad stretch through the last part portion of it. In fact, there were games like even though we were in a bad stretch as a team, I thought Jalen was playing really good football. So like, but I get it. Like me as the head coach, Jalen as the quarterback, we're going to draw the most scrutiny and the most, you know, attention and eyes. And we understand that in the seats that we sit in. But I know that the things that Jalen needs to work on and the things that we'll sit down together and talk about, and the thing, I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to bust his ass to do that because that's who he is. That's who he's been since the day he's got here. That's why he continues to develop in things that maybe people thought was a negative for him in the past that he's made into a strength. So I have no doubt about the person doing that because I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it over and over again. And I look forward to him doing it with this off season with all the things that we talk about for all of us to improve on.
Howie, when you look at this, what happened this past year, and especially with a lot of noise that we're talking about Nick and possibly replacing him from the outside, what gave you the confidence to bring him back another season and to lead this team?
Because I've seen it been done. You know, I've had the opportunity to work with him, and I've seen what he has done, winning games, put us in a position where we're competing for a world championship, putting us in a position where every year we're in the playoff race and giving us an opportunity with the team to do that. Those things are hard to find. I don't know the stat off my head, but I'm sure there's not more than a handful of teams who've made the playoffs the last 3 years. And it takes all of us. We had a tough stretch. If you go back to when we walked off the field after the Buffalo game and we were 10-1, which, you know, I've talked about that time machine. I would take a time machine to do that. That would be a beautiful thing, but we can't. I think there would be a lot different narrative being told, and we can't lose sight of the big picture. We have a lot of good people on this football team. We got a lot of good players. We got a lot of good coaches. We got a lot of good people in this building. You know, I look around this building, I couldn't be more proud of the people. That doesn't mean we can't fight through adversity. That doesn't mean we can't overcome this and take this back to the level and beyond that we were at last year. It's not going to take a snap of the fingers. We got to work hard. We got to do whatever we can to have the right people, bring in the right people to do that. But we have a lot of those pieces in place. This cupboard isn't even close to bare.
Just came out now that said that Vic Fangio and the Dolphins parted ways, and that specifically the Eagles would be.
It's just like what happened when you had to do a press conference at one time. It's like just
what was it?
It was the fire trade.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
It said specifically he will be the top target.
We got a lot of good targets that we're working through. You know, and there are a lot of guys that have done really well in their interview process, and look forward to continue on that process. We'll see what happens.
Hey, Nick, coaches on your staff, all the evaluations been completed, or
you think we're still working. Yeah, and that's what's tough, right? You're still working, and there's some guys that are still up in the air. You know, I hate this for them because we are replacing coordinators, and there's guys that are up in the air, and their families are up in the air in the sense of like, I got to get a coordinator in before we make a decision on maybe some of the quality controls or some of the position coaches. I know I believe in the guys upstairs. And, but, you know, also there has to be an ability for some of the coordinators to bring in, you know, maybe one or two of their guys or more. And so that's still an evaluation process. That's something that might not get sorted out until the coordinator's hired, till that coordinator gets to meet with some of the guys, make sure they can work together. And so that's still a process that we're going through.
And now, Nick, over the years, you've been pretty consistent with us talking about the offense, whether it's, you know, if Shane's here, it's your offense calling the plays, Brian, it's your offense. When, from that change, that evolution, any encouragement come from outside, or is that something just coming from you?
Again, I just think that right now we just need to bring some ideas in from the outside, right? And we need to bring a guy in that with new ideas that's not part of this family of coaches. I think that's an important thing. Or even if it is a family of the coaches that has been somewhere else, and then you could, like, it could be any of that. And so that's important. You know, that's important, because that's important that you're making sure you always evolve, right? And we are blessed with time, and that, you know, college coaches don't have sometimes, because they're recruiting, and we're blessed with how much tape we're able to watch, how much tape we're watching on, you know, prospects, and we see the other college, you know, college tape and things like that. So the evolution will not just be of, you know, the things that this new coordinator will bring to the table, as far as their scheme and things that we may not know a lot about, you know, because it is easy to look it out and say, oh, I like to do that, like to do that, like to do that, but not know everything there is to know about it. And that's where you're bringing the coordinator in to bring those new ideas. But then you also, we're going to have this time over this next 6 months or 5 months or whatever it is to also study some own ideas ourselves. We'll go to a college, we'll bring somebody in here to make sure we're studying things that we want to learn more about, whether that's something we just want to learn more about, whether that's something that we were deficient in last year. Those will be all the different topics of what our professional development is. And then you also have the things from our offense that we've done well in the past. This will be our offense. This will be the Philadelphia Eagles offense, not whoever, you know, name the coordinator's offense or my name on it or whoever, Kevin Petullo's. It will be our offense, and really look forward to, you know, really evolving the offense and some things that I believe that by the end of the year, you know, got stale, and it, we, you know, and we saw the way how that ended, and statistically, you know, you finish positive on a lot of different things, but by the, obviously at 1-6 finish, you know, there was things that got stale, and looking forward to, I really see the beauty of what can happen with bringing in this new coordinator and where our offense can go because of it.
Now, a couple more.
Why the offense gets so stale?
Trying, bro.
We'll go Zach next.
I'm sorry.
I was saying, why did the offense get so bad? Was it because of the quarterback, or the play calling?
We all have a hand in it. We all have a hand in it, and I'll take in anything that happens on that field will always start with me. I don't care if that's offense, defense, or special teams. And so I'll be the on the front of that, of, you know, where the staleness came from. But we did, you know, there was things that we look at, and, you know, that we can do better, right? And whether that's the pass game, whether it's the run game, whether it's the protections, there's parts of that in all areas that we look at and be like, ah, you know, that wore its course. And that doesn't mean that's your entire offense. That's just portions of it, right? Because you're still going to have staples that are staples for you that can be run against any defense at any time, at any moment. That was just some stale moments of all of those phases of the game that I just mentioned.
Alan, what perspective do you have now of the roster competition? And you made a few references to wanting to keep playing this week, like the team still playing this week. How do you think it compares to the team still playing this week?
Yeah, I think we've always kind of had our own spin on roster building. And I think that at the same time, I've talked a lot about, you know, if you keep following things as opposed to being at the head of the curve, then you're kind of getting the leftovers. Like, you have to be ahead of it. And I think that when we've had our best teams, we've been ahead of it. And so we continue to study that and try to figure out ways to do that. We study what's successful, what we think will be successful going forward. And I think, in roster building, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. I think that, you know, you could look at the four teams playing right now, and I promise you we can go over a couple of things they'd like to have back. You know, that's part of it. The most important thing we got to do is we got to have a vision for how we want it to look. We have to have a process that we want to have. And sometimes you can have a vision, you can have a process, and the result's not what you want, you know? And so you got to make sure that you're not overreacting to a result that, you know, maybe just kind of was an aberration in the moment. And then you got to look at, maybe is the process right? So I think just like coaches going through that, I think that's one of the things we're real about around here. You know, how can we get better? What can we do better to improve ourselves? You know, to me, we're at a point here where the only thing that matters is winning. That's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that matters is for us to put out a product on the field that gives us the best chance to win a championship every year. And I know we can do that because we've done it. And we'll continue to work as hard as we possibly can to continue to grow and learn from any adversity we have and do whatever we can to overcome them.
BGN.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's vanta.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.